It's easy to forget.
All right, you will say. Good morning. Let's begin. All right, let's begin. So we left off last time with Pei Beis on the base. So if you remember again, in the Gemara yesterday, the Gemara told the story about an Ubra, a pregnant woman who had smelled food on Yom Kippur. And they came before Rebbe, and they asked Rebbe what they should do. And Rebbe said to her, whisper that it's Yom Kippur. So the Gemara said that at that point in time, the baby settled down, and Rebbe said essentially that that's a sign that this child is going to grow up to be a great tzaddik. And sure enough, it turned out to be that the baby was Rebbe Yochanan. The Gemara tells another story. Hu Ubra, last line, the Archa, who smelled food on Yom Kippur, Azul the Kamei Rabbi Chanina. He came before Rabbi Chanina. Amr Lahu, Rabbi Chanina said to them, Lachoshula, whisper in her ear that it's Yom Kippur. Below Ichlisha. But interestingly enough, when he whispered in her ear, it did not cause the child to settle down. Rashi says, Ichlisha, Kibla es halachisha, Shepasak Uber, the child didn't settle down. Kori Alei, to this Rabbi Yochanan said, Tap of Pei Gimel, Zoru Rishoim Merechem. Literally, the wicked become estranged already from the womb. So apparently, Rabbi Chanina felt that the fact that the child did not settle down after being told that it was Yom Kippur was indicative of the fact that perhaps this child was not going to do good things in the future. And therefore, he called about in this pasuk, the wicked become estranged from the womb. Rashi says, Na'asu zorim. They became estranged already to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the womb. And sure enough, the Gemara says, Nafuk minei shabsi aser peri. Sure enough, who came? Well, this baby was actually Shabsai, the hoarder of produce. Now, what does it mean, Shabsai, the hoarder of produce? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Otsar peri. Rashi says, now, what did this man do? It's interesting practice. He says, Lahatkiya sha'arim. He used to hoard produce in order to go ahead and drive up the price. And then, of course, once the price was artificially inflated, he was able to dump all of his produce on the market. There's a halacha against hoarding. It's a halacha against hoarding in a way that artificially drives up prices, that makes things more difficult for the common man. So it turned out that this child that would not settle down, this fetus that would not settle down for Yom Kippur, ultimately became Shabsai, the Otzer Peri. Says the Gemara, Chola ma'achilin osal pi bikin. So you remember again what the Mishnah said, if someone is ill, we feed them on Yom Kippur on the advice of experts. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Chola, another couple of very interesting cases. Rabbi Yanai says the following, Chola Omer Tzarich, let's say again, the Chola, the person who's ill, says I need to eat. Virofe Omer, Eno Tzarich, but the doctor, let's say we have a doctor there, and the doctor says, no, he's fine, he can make it through the fast without eating. What's the halacha? Shomen l'chola. We listen to the person. We listen to the ill person. Why? My time, Leiv yodea maras nafsho. I will say a very profound statement. Literally, a soul, or I should say a heart, knows the bitterness of its soul. Also, which is another way of saying what? No one knows you like you. So the doctor could be the most wonderful physician. At the end of the day, he doesn't know the patient like the patient knows the patient. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Peshita, that's obvious. So meaning, what's the chiddush over here? Maudatim, what would I have thought? Rofe kim leitvei. I might have thought that the doctor knows more. So even though the patient says that Lamaisa, he knows that he needs to eat. But this is the guy, this guy went to school, spent all this money, all this training. He knows what he's talking about. Kamashon, yeah, we're not even disputing that he knows what he's talking about. Doctor knows what he's talking about. But at the end of the day, no one knows the patient like the patient. Rofe Omer Tzarech, V'chola Omer Ein Tzarech. We'll say, you should know, this is the case that comes up more often on Yom Kippur. So what happens? The doctor says, you need to eat. And the patient says, no, I don't. I'm fine, I can make it. Chol Omer Tzarech. So the halacha is, Shomen L'Rofe. We listen to the doctor. My time, why is that? You know, Gervosa, so it's interesting over here, as we just said, Leiv yodea maras nafsho. We just said before that a person knows themselves best. I can listen to the doctor over here. My time, tunva hu dinokitle. We're concerned that a tunva, look at Rashi, tunva, shtus. We're concerned that he's like a little delirious. The patient maybe is not of sound mind, therefore he's not making good decisions. Rabbi said, but you see what halacha is essentially doing is trying to go ahead and protect the interests of the individual. So if the individual says he needs to eat and the doctor says he doesn't need to eat, then the ma'aseh, we're going to let him eat. If the patient says, I don't need to eat, the doctor says, yes, you do. Again, we're looking out, anytime that there's a suffix, anytime there's a doubt, we're going to go with the interests of the individual. So we listen to the doctor. If the doctor says he needs to eat, even if the patient says he doesn't. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Chole ma'achilin osa'api b'kiyin. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if you have a person who's ill, you could feed him on the advice of Bikin. Bikin also means experts, which in this context means doctors. So you could feed him on the advice of doctors. Apib, now the Gemara understands what the Mishnah seems to be saying is Api Bikin in Api Atzmolo. Now the inference from that is the only way to ultimately feed the patient is because you have expert testimony that says that he needs to eat, but his own statement that he needs to eat seemingly is not enough to allow him to eat on Yom Kippur, to which the Gemara says, Api Bikin in Api Atzmolo, to which the Gemara says, Api Bikin in Api Baki Echod Lo. Oh no, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? The Mishnah is coming to teach us that in order for the patient to eat, there has to be two doctors, but one doctor is not enough. So the Gemara says, Hachamai Askinon, what case are you talking about over here? The Amar Lo Tzrichna. The case over here is where the patient says, the individual says, I don't need to eat. I don't need to eat. And therefore, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, in order to force him to eat on Yom Kippur, what do you need? You need a testimony of two doctors, meaning that if it's just one doctor, then essentially what you have is you have one doctor against one patient, one versus one. That's not compelling enough to order him to eat on Yom Kippur. But if you have two doctors that say he needs to eat, then Lamaisa, again, that's compelling enough to force him. Look at Rashi. So the case again is where the patient says, I don't need to eat. The doctors say he doesn't need to eat. If it's one doctor, it's one against one. But if it's two doctors, it's two against one. And we would compel him to eat. To which the Gemara says, so I don't understand. But why do we need two? What, look at Rashi. Now, we just said above, that Lamaisa, if the doctor says the patient needs to eat and the patient says he doesn't need to eat, that we listen to the doctor. Why Tunva? We're concerned maybe he's a shota, maybe the patient's a little bit not thinking straight. So we saw already before that even if with just one doctor, you could force the patient to eat. So why Lamaisa does the Mishnah seem to say that you need two? Lo tzricha di'ika achrina bahadei da amar lo tzarech. Oh, so also I listen to this, because what's the case? The case over here is where it's not just the patient has his own doctor, right? And what does the patient's own doctor say? The patient's own doctor supports his position that he doesn't need to eat. So you have machlokes harofim, machlokes of doctors. So what happens? So one doctor supports the patient's assertion that he doesn't need to eat. And now, so in order to get the patient to eat, what do you need? You need two other doctors, because again, if you only have one other doctor saying that he needs to eat, then it's one versus two. If you have at least two doctors on the other side, then lemaisa again, at least is a strong, at least it's a two versus two. And in the case of suffix like that, we would tell the patient to eat. So the Gemara says, Lotzir di kachinu ba'adei, dorma lotzorach, ma'achilin also, api b'kiyim. So we'll say, so now back to what the statement of the Mishnah was. So when the Mishnah said that we go ahead and we feed him on the advice of these experts, Pshita, that's obvious. Sufik nefashosu, v'sufik nefashos lahakel. That's obvious because I will say again, in this kind of situation, you have a sufik nefashos, and any sufik nefashos, we always resolve leniently. In this case, of course, the leniency will be to allow him to eat, to which the Gemara says, lo tzvicha, di'ika trei, achrini bahadei, da'amri lo tzarech. I will say, oh, so you know what the case over here is? The case over here is where the patient has two other doctors who say that he does not need to eat. So we'll say, so on one hand, so the non-eating side has three people, the patient himself, the two doctors, and now what is the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah is saying, but if you bring two other doctors that say he does need to eat, we would tell him to eat. So the Gemara says, va'af al-gab damar av safra, trei kamea, even though Rabbi said normally when it comes to laws of edus, so two is the equivalent of 100. We'll say, what does that mean? That if Bezin is adjudicating a case, and the two sides bring their witnesses, and one side brings two and one side brings 100, from a halachic perspective, there's no difference between two witnesses and 100 witnesses. So maybe you'll say, well, who cares if the chola has two doctors on his side, making the no eating side three people and the eating side two people? Who cares? So the Gemara says, no, hanimili le'inyan edus. That'll, first of all, this idea of trei kameya only applies in terms of testimony. Aval le'inyan umdina, but when it comes to matters of assessment, you see, Abbas, in this case over here, of whether or not the person should eat on Yom Kippur, this is not a din in edos. This is a din in assessing the patient's condition. However, so when it comes to assessments, baser deos hazlinan, we actually go after numbers. We look at numbers. We look at what is the majority opinion as to how to deal with this particular circumstance. Vahani mili, furthermore, this is true, le'inyan umdina dimamona. But even with assessments, when we go after numbers, that's with financial assessments, aval hacha safek nefashosu. But here I will say we are safek nefashosu. I say, therefore what? So therefore, even in a case where what? Where the patient says, I don't need to eat. And he has two doctors that support his position that he doesn't need to eat. But yet, there are three people on the non-eating side. But there are two other doctors to come along and say that, no, you need to eat. Halacha lemaisa, who do we listen to? We listen to the two who say that you need to eat. Why? Because since it's safek nefasho, since we are dealing with potentially life-threatening situations, again, we go with the two doctors on the eating side.
But
okay.
The first two said you don't have to eat. Those are the two experts. Why do you need two more?
No, they're saying the opposite. They're coming along and saying he does need to eat. The Mishnah's case was ma'achilin osa pibikin. We force him to eat by the testimony of two expert witnesses.
Okay.
There are two more doctors who are coming and say he needs to eat on Yom Kippur.
No, but the first who said he doesn't need to eat, they're the experts.
Everybody's experts. Have you ever met a doctor who's not an expert? I'm sorry. That was wrong.
Why do you need the two more to come and say yes? That's his question.
Because they came. But it's in my cloaks, everybody's there. The guy falls down in shul. The guy falls down in shul. So four doctors show up, right? Four doctors, seven lawyers, everybody's there, right? So what happens? So two doctors say he doesn't need to eat. Two more doctors say he does need to eat. So the shaila is, what do you do? So the Mishnah says, we feed him. Even though the patient's now revived and the patient says, I'm okay. So we have three on the no eating side, two on the eating side. The Mishnah says we feed him.
No, but I'm talking about if you're at home.
Right, we're going to do this later. We're going to do this later. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll finish your point, actually.
But if you're home and you call two doctors and they side with you.
Oh, so we're gonna see how long the mice are.
I have to find two more doctors?
No. Of course, you don't have to go shopping for additional opinions. These cases are where the opinions are there. Hamidik Tani Seifa. V'im ein sham bikin. We said at the end of the Mishnah that if there are no bikin, if there are no experts there, we feed him based on his own testimony. Meaning, testimony is the wrong word, but based on his own feelings. This seems to indicate that the first case in the Mishnah is where the patient himself did say that I need to eat. To which the Gemara says, in reality, there was a piece missing, and here's how we have to fill it in. When do we say that you need bikim, that you need experts? The amar lo tzarich. Rabbi say, you see, under when do we say that you would you ask for additional opinions? That's when the patient is saying, I don't need to eat. Aval amar tzarich. But if the patient says, I need to eat, so the Gemara says, aval amar tzarich ani, ein sham bikim. I'm sorry. The amar lo tzarich. The lo tzarich ani. When the patient says, when do we say that you need bikiim? So the Gemara says, the Amar lo tzarech ani. When he says, I don't need to eat. Aval Amar tzarech ani, ein sham bikiim trei, elachad, the Amar lo tzarech, ma'achilin osa pi'atzmo. So if the patient ever says that I need to eat, and there are no experts there, except for one who said that he does not need to eat, we would go ahead and we would feed him anyway. Or in other words, if the patient says I need to eat, and there's a doctor there that says, no, you would be fine throughout the fast, even without eating, the maisa, we would go ahead and listen to the patient. Mar Bar Rav Ashi Amar. Mar Bar Rav Ashi said the following. Rabbi said, this is halacha l'maisa. Kol heichad da amar tzarech ani. Whenever the patient says I need to eat, afilu ika mea da amri lo tzarech lididei shaminan. So Mar Bar Rav Ashi, now this is coming kind of full circle to the way we started this sugya. Any time that the patient says I need to eat, even if there are 100 doctors there who say that he does not need to eat, we listen to the patient. Why shene emar lo leiv yodea maras nafsho? Because literally a heart knows its own suffering. In other words, a person knows their disposition and their situation best. Tanan, im ein sham bikin ma'achilin o sa'api atzmo. The halacha is that if there are no bikin there, if there are no doctors, so we feed him there based on his own feelings. So the Gemara says, time with the lucky bikin. Now the reason the Gemara seems to say that we feed him on his own, based on his own testimony, or based on his own admission, is because there are no doctors there. Ha'ika bikin lo. But if there were doctors there, perhaps we wouldn't listen to him, but rather we would ask the doctors what we should do. To which the Gemara says, ha'chikamer, this is what it means to say. Bamedra mamurim, when is this true? Da'amar lo sorry. When the patient says, I don't need to eat. That's when we listen to the patient. Aval amar tsarich ani. Excuse me. That's when we listen to the bikin. That's when we listen to the doctors. Aval amar tsarich ani. But if the patient says, I need to eat. Ein sham bikin klal. Imein sham, excuse me. Aval amar tsarich ani. Ein sham bikin klal ma'achilin also al pi atzmo. Shene emar lo leiv yodea maras nafsha. So Rabbi say, what comes out from this sugya is really something quite fascinating. What comes out from this sugya is that halacha lemaisa, whenever the patient says he needs to eat, so halacha lemaisa we give him to eat. Now again, based on our previous sugyas, if we could give him to eat less than the shear, so that's certainly preferable. But if for some reason he says, no, I'm in a dire situation, I need to eat more than the shear, then we would give him to eat more than the shear based simply on his own testimony. Even if there are doctors who say, no, he's fine, he'll make it, nothing's going to happen to him, still, if he feels labor, the Amar Snafsha, we listen to the patient. In the event that Lemaisa, the patient says, I don't need to eat, then Lemaisa and the doctor says, he does need to eat. In that case, Shulchan Paskins, we listen to the doctor. And one doesn't even need two doctors in order to go ahead and solidify this approach. Even one doctor who makes the claim that the patient needs to eat, we listen to that doctor, feed the patient on Yom Kippur.
Why do you whisper to the Mubaris if she says?
Because we make an attempt. We make it the same way that we don't just bring out the food to the chol immediately. We try to see if the person could calm down. You always take the initial steps to see if we can get by without it. It's only if he's persistent or the doctor is persistent, then we do it. Says the Mishnah. Misha achsa bulmos. Somebody who became sick with bulmos. Rashi says, bulmos is choli ha'ochus. So apparently bulmos is a type of disease that came on as a result of extreme hunger. So what would happen? Enof kehos, one's eyesight would begin to diminish. V'humasukan lamos, and the person literally this is a life threatening situation. He says ukishamar iso chozeres biadush nisrape. Fine. So we'll see that later on in the Gemara. So misha achza bulmos, somebody who was seized by bulmos on Yom Kippur, ma'achilin osafil dvarm tmeim. We feed him whatever we can, even if there's only non kosher food available. Excuse me. We feed him the non kosher food. Ad shi'uru enov. Until when? Until his eyesight is restored. Because remember, Rashi pointed out over here that Lamaisa, part of what happens with bulmos is your eyesight begins to diminish. Mishanashcho kelevshot. That's simply someone who is bitten by a crazy dog. We'll discuss about what a crazy dog is in the Gemara. Ein ma'achilin also mechatzar kalevshot. So apparently, one of the remedies they used to have for a dog bite of a crazy dog is that they would kill the dog and they would feed the patient from the liver lobe of the dog. And apparently that was supposed to heal the bite. So the Tanakhama says that we don't do that. Rav Masya ben Charash matter. Masya ben Charash says we can. And I will say, if you look at Rashi, why not? In ma'achilin mi'odmi, oy ma'achilin mi'chatzar kavichalo, va'afa pi shenogim harofim berfuah zu, eino refuah gimura, la'haftirlo isra behema timilakach. So I will say, it's a fundamental machlokis in the Mishnah. See whether or not this was considered to be a real remedy or not, right? Giving of the dog's liver lobe, was that a real remedy? So Tanakhama says, even though people do it, it's not a proven remedy, and as such, you can't go ahead and feed someone from the liver of a dog if it's not a proven remedy. Rabbi Masim and Harsh on the other hand, Rashi says, Kasav Rafu Gimuru. Rabbi Masim and Harsh on the other hand apparently holds that no, Lemaisa, it is a proven remedy, and therefore you can do it. Va'od Amra Masi ben Charsh. Furthermore, Amasi ben Charsh said, Ha'choshesh bigrono, if somebody on both sides is having, choshesh bigrono literally means throat issues. Now we'll discuss exactly what this means as well, but this also is a type of sakhano. Amasi ben Charsh, ha'choshesh bigrono, matilin lo sam besoch piv b'shabbos. He could take medicine on Shabbos. Because anything to do with throat, and we'll discuss exactly what the nature of this ailment over here. Anything to do with the throat is suffik nefashos. The chol suffik nefashos docha esas Shabbos. Similarly, Misha nafla alav mapoles. If somebody was trapped under rubble on Shabbos, safek husham safek eno shabbos. Now let's say there's a pile of rubble and there's a safek if there's a person in there or not. Is there some person in there or not? Safek chai, safek meis. And Rabbi said, even if you ask if there's a person in there, there's a safek if they're alive or a safek if they're dead. Or safek kusi, safek yisrael. We're not sure if the person is a Jew, not sure if the person is not a Jew. When the Gemara uses kusi over here, it uses kusi in the context of a non-Jew. So what's talach? So Rabbi said, you have all these sfekos. So what should you do with this pile on Shabbos? Mefakhin alaves hagal. We begin to remove the rubble. Now, we'll say the Gemara will discuss why exactly you would think that you wouldn't remove the rubble. We'll get to the Gemara, but now we say, we remove the rubble. And how much, I will say, this is actually going to be a very important sugya. You're going to see, actually, we're going to be talking about here one of the most important sugyas in the entire brain versus cardiac death halachic controversy is going to be this Gemara. So we go ahead and we remove the rubble until we get to the person. Now, once you get to the person, we'll say, matzo chai, if you find that he's alive, mefachin, you remove the rest of the rubble to get him out. Matzo v'imeis, however, if you find him and he's already dead, ganichu, we leave him there. Most of us mean we leave him there. We leave him there until after Shabbos. Meaning, if he's dead already, there is no heter to continue clearing the rubble. Rather, we leave him there until after Shabbos, and after Shabbos, we'll go and we'll retrieve the body. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, minayin hayu yodin she'iru enav. How do we know, about, say, going back to the bulmos, how do we know that if a person, how do we know that a person was feeling, literally, he'iru enav means, how do we know that his eyesight was restored? So we'll say, obviously, I can't believe the Gemara was asking, because you can tell if somebody's eyesight was restored. Rather, what the Gemara is asking is, how do you know when a person is recovering from bulmos? A person had bulmos, and how do you know if they're recovering? To which the Gemara says, "Mishiyavchin bein tov l'ra." When they're able to distinguish between that which is good and that which is not, Amar Abaye qualifies this and says, "Ubetayma." The boss say, apparently, one of the things that you lose with bulmos is your sense of taste. So when a person regains the sense of taste and they're able to distinguish between good food and bad food, that's indicative of the fact that their bulmos is in remission. So the Gemara says the following: Tan Rabbanan. Misha achsa bulmos. If somebody was literally, bless you, was seized by bulmos. If somebody was seized by bulmos, ma'achilin also akal akal. Bosse says, interesting case. Let's say somebody seized by bulmos. So again, remember, how do you combat bulmos? How do you combat it? You feed it. You feed it, right? You give a person to eat. Bosse, let's say for argument's sake, all a person has access to is prohibited food items. Prohibited food items. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is we try to give him the least severe food items. So we try to give him the food items that carry with them the least amount of transgression. So what says, for example, if you have accessible to you tevel unavela, or both say tevel is untied produce, nevela is a carcass of an animal. These are the two things you have available to you. Machidin also nevela. We give him teeth nevela. Nevela is considered to be more kal, more lenient than tevel. Tevel ushviyah. Similarly, if you have tevel, shviyah tevel, say, is shmita produce. This would be shmita produce after shasbi, or tevel ushviyah. Shviyah, you go out and you give him from shmita produce. Tevel utruma. What happens if you only have tevel and truma? So Rabbi said, tevel, untithed produce, truma, produce of the kohen. And this is assuming that what? That the guy who has bulmos is not what? Is not a kohen. Right, it's not a coin. So what happens if you have tevel utrum, what do you give him? Tanahi, the Gemara says, that's a machlokis tanoim. Disanya, ma'achilin also tevel ve'in ma'achilin also truma. So the Tanakama says, we give him teat tevel and not truma. We'll discuss why this is in just a moment. Ben Tema says, truma velo tevel. Ben Tema says, no, we give him teat truma and not tevel. Omer Rabba says, hecha de efsha bechulin, Duholi amalo pligi dimitat dimiskaninon le umistafinon le. Rabba says, everyone agrees, of course, that if there is chulin available, we would go ahead and give him chulin. We'd fix the chulin and give it to him. So we'll say, fundamental machlokis now between the Tanakama and Ben Tema. Tanakama says that when you have a choice between tevel and truma, we give him tevel and not truma. Ben Tema says, no, we give him truma and not tevel. What's the root of this machlokis? So Mar says, keep ligi, when do they argue? Bidalo efsha b'chulin. Now, I will say, obviously, the machlokes, Tanakama, and Bentema is when there is no chulin available. Mar Savar, one opinion holds, Mar Savar, tevel chamor. Tevachom Rabo say this is going to be the opinion of Bentema. So Bentema says Tevel is chamur, Umar Sover Truma chamura, and the other opinion, i.e. the Tanakama, says that Truma is chamur. Why do they each hold their respective positions? Mar Sover Tevel chamur. One opinion holds that Tevel is chamur. About Truma Chazil opinion. Rabo says here's the interesting part. Tevel is not fit for anyone. No one is permitted to eat Tevel. Truma, at least, is what? Is fit for the Kohen. Now, we'll say, a non-Kohen is not permitted to eat it. Okay, but Lemaisa, at least, it's in the Parsha of consumption. Tevel's not even in the Parsha of consumption. Therefore, when faced with the choice what to give the guy with bulmos, give him Truma. Excuse me. Give him Truma. Umar Sava, the other opinion holds, and I both say, this is the Tanakama, Umar Savar, Mar Savar, Truma Chamura. No, Truma is even more Chamur. Why? About Tevel Efshar Litakune. Because they will say, here's the difference. See, Truma can never be rendered fit for common use. But what's interesting is what? But Tevel can, even though it's Tevel right now, technically speaking, Tevel can be remedied and made into edible product for the guy with bulmus. Even though I was like, you're not doing that now necessarily, the idea is because it can be fixed. Lemaisa, again, it makes it less chomer than Truma. We're going to discuss that. So the Gemara says, Efshar b'chulim. So it's actually Mamish next couple of lines. So the Gemara says, Efshar b'chulim shita. And I will say, remember, in the midst of this machlokus between Ben Tema and the Tanakama about what you should go ahead and give the guy who has bulmus, should you give him truma, should you give tevel, Rabba comes along and says, oh, but if you can give him chulin, that's certainly better. So the Gemara says, pshita, what is Rabba coming to add exactly? Obviously, everybody agrees that lemaisa, if you can go ahead and you can give him teet chulin, you certainly should do that. To which the Gemara says, lo tzricha b'shabbos. Oh, what's the case over here, Rabosai? The case over here is where this is occurring on Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Lo tzricha b'Shabbos. Sha'afilu hu Shabbos sha'asra la'hafrish truma u'maiser yafrishuha velo ya'achiluha tevodim. So both sides, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that a Rabba is coming along and saying is the following. So Rabba comes along after the opinion of Ben Tema and the Tanakama, and Rabba says like this. Rabba essentially sides with the Tanakama, who says that you should go ahead and give the guy with bulmus, you should go ahead and you should give him tevel. But Rabba comes along and says, but what should you do? You should really try to separate out the trumas and maestros before you go ahead and give him tevel. Or in other words, take tevel and untevel it, tithe it, and then give it to him. So the halacha is, so that's what I was saying, efshar b'chulin. If you can go ahead and remedy the tevel, certainly do that. To which the Gemara says, Pshita. So Gemara says that's obvious. Meaning, Rabba's statement makes a lot of sense. We'll say why. Tiltu midrabbanu. But we'll say because what's the case? Why can't we separate out Shumos and Ma'israel on Shabbos? That is not an Isra d'Oraisa. It's an Isra d'Rabbanu. So meaning, one can make the very logical argument is if all you have to give the guy is Tevel, and you have to give it to him because he has bulmus, and separating out, but he said consumption of tevel is an iser d'araisa. Separation of trumos and maestros is an iser d'rabbanon. So doesn't it make sense to go ahead and separate out the trumos and maestros? And yes, violate an iser d'rabbanon in order to save the individual from violating an iser d'araisa. Now, granted, Rabosai, he's not really going to violate an iser d'araisa. Why? Why? Because he's in Sakharas Nefashos, because Bulmus is a life-threatening situation. So there's not really going to be an Issa D'Oraisa, but still, meaning Rabba is going to say, if you could remedy a potential Issa D'Oraisa through taking of Chumas Ha'Issa, which is only Issa D'Rabbanan, do it.
And which is the Issa D'Oraisa?
A consumption of Tevel. Can't eat Tevel. So Mar says, Hachamai Askinon, what's the case over here? Hachamai Askinon, Ba'atzit She'ino Nakuv. Oh, the case over here, I will say, is what? The case over here is dealing with a non-perforated flower pot. And I will say, what does that mean? That if you can imagine for a moment, the produce over here is not coming from that which is grown in the soil attached to the ground, but rather, again, it's potted produce. Potted produce. Look at Rashi. Ba'atit she'ino nakuv. Rashi says, the tevel shelo midrabanan. So the truth is, Sir Bosa, what's interesting over here is the following. Halacha lemaisa, the only time that produce becomes subject to trumos hamaisos midoraisa is if it mamish grows in the ground. If you have a potted plant, it is subject to trumos hamaisos midirabanan. So look at Rashi. Therefore, again, Rabbi said this untithed produce of stuff that grew in a pot, as a potted plant is only tevel midirabanan. Ushvus da froshas maestros bishabis dirabanan. Ashma inan sheyid chashvus velo yachiluhu tevel dirabanan. So we'll say Rabbi seems to say the following. What's the case over here? The case over here is we were dealing with a potted plant, and the guy has bumos. So you have to feed him tevel. And what does Rabbi say? Separate out trumos and maestros from that tevel. Why? Because since the tevel is drabanon, since separating out trumos and maestros is drabanon, separate, meaning remedy the produce first before you give it to the guy with bulmus. Because if you don't, what could happen? People might see you going ahead and eating untithed produce, and they might assume that lemaisa, that's permitted. To which the Gemara says the following, Mar savar tevel chomer. So again, it's going back now. Ben Tema said that tevel is more chomer, and therefore, again, in Ben Tema's model, you should sooner give him truma. Umar Sarva the Tanakama said, Truma Chamura, so the Gemara said, Lima Tanoihi. See that this is a machlokes Tanoim. This Sanya, Mi Shenoshcho Nacha, Shavos, like somebody who was bitten by a snake. So what do? Koron Rofe Mimakum Lamakum. We call from a doctor. Shavos, Mimakum Lamakum means we call from a doctor, even if the doctor has to travel from far away. Right? So meaning, even if the doctor himself, who may be Jewish, was going to go ahead and travel outside of his tchum, we still call for the doctor. Umekarin Loes Atanagolas. We'll say this literally means we cut open the chicken. Now, apparently, one of the ways, look at Rashi, Korlos Tanagolas, Loses Alamaka, Shazoi Rifua. So, apparently, the way that they would treat a snake bite is they would cut open a chicken, they would place it on top of the bite. Okay? The goes is in Loes Akrishin, and they would go ahead and literally uproot for him leeks, vegetables. Rashi says, Minama Chuber Lahilo. Apparently, again, these are all the different things. It sounds like they're making a pseudo over here. Right? They have a little chicken, a little salad. Right? So the idea over here is these are all parts. This is how they treated the snake bite. Uma'achilin also. And we give him to eat. Ve'ein tzarech la'aser. And I will say, obviously, part of this, actually, the Cretian apparently seems to be in order to keep up his strength. So we do give him something to eat, dafka, these leeks, in order to keep up his strength. And we do not have to tithe the leeks prior to giving it in Divrei Rebbe. These are the words of Rebbe. Rebbe Elozer, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Yochal Ad Sheya Aser. Rebbe Elozer, Rebbe Shimon says, no, you should not give him to eat of the leeks until you tithe it. So the Gemara says, Neima, Rebbe Elozer, Rebbe Shimon, Velo Rebbe. So apparently, Rebbe Elozer, you'd have to say that Rebbe Elozer, Rebbe Shimon accepts the view of Rabbah that when possible, we should in fact take Trumas and Maisos from Tevel before giving it to the patient. And Rebbe does not subscribe to that view. To which the Gemara says, no. Afilu Tema Rebbe. No, even Rebbe could agree. Why? Ad kan lo kam Rebbe Hasam. Elalein Meiser Yerek Drabanam. Rebbe Elozer, why did Rebbe say you don't have to tithe the leeks, Rebbe Elozer? Because remember, a leek is a vegetable. And technically speaking, midoraisa, vegetables are not subject to the laws of trumos and maestros. It's only midirabanan that vegetables are subject to the laws of trumos and maestros. So Rebbe says, in a case like that, it's only dirabanan, let it go. Forget about it. It's not important for now. Let the patient eat the produce, even though it's not tithe. Aval b'maiser dagon, the tevel doraisu. But Rebbe would agree that in a case, let's say, where you're giving him of grain, and grain, of course, is subject to the laws of tithing midoraisa. Afilu Rebbe Moda. Even Rebbe would agree that Lamaisa, again, you would tithe it before giving it to him to eat. Di Sharis, Afilu Rebbe Moda, Di Sharis Le Ba'atit She'inonakov, Asi Lamecha Ba'atit Shunakov. So here the Gemara uses this expression because if you allow him to go ahead and eat untithe produce from a non perforated pot, he may come to go ahead and eat untithe produce from a perforated pot. Otherwise, we'll say what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the only reason why Rebbe doesn't require you to tithe the leeks prior to giving it to the patient is because lemaisa again, the vegetables themselves are only subject midirabanan. And therefore, again, there's no need to engage in that extra step when dealing with a chola. However, were you to deal with produce that in fact is subject to trumos maestros midoraisa, you would want to tithe that prior to going ahead and giving it to the patient, lest people become confused and think that these items are not subject to the laws of trumos and maestros. Tanarabanan. Misha achsa bulmus. So we'll say back to the bulmus now. Somebody literally who was seized by bulmus. So what do we do? Ma'achilin also dvash v'chomine mesika. So we give him honey and any other sweet things. Apparently, shadvash v'chomine mesika mi'irin ma'ar enav sha'adam. Because, Rabosai, honey and other sweet things help to restore the eyesight of the individual. Remember, we saw before that Rashi said one of the effects of bulmos is diminished eyesight. So apparently sweet things help to restore eyesight in general. The afa pishen raya ledavar, and even though there's no explicit raya for this, zeich ledavar. Bosa zeich ledavar means that there's a scriptural allusion, there's a hint to it. What's the hint? Because he quotes over here the pasuk, Ru'una ki aru enai ki ta'amti ma'at dvash hazeh. See that my eyes have been illuminated, have been lit up, because I tasted a little bit of this honey. Rabosai, this is actually an interesting case. This is in here, you can see over, it's quoted from Shmuel Aleph. This is by Yonasan, who was the son of Shaul. They're out to war against the Plishtim. They're doing battle, and Shaul says, the enemy's on the run. Shaul says, no one eats anything. No one eats anything. We'll eat later. Right now, we need everybody to focus on battle. And Shaul actually said, whoever stops to eat something will be put to death. So amazingly enough, who stops to eat something? His son, Yonasan. Not in an act of disobedience. Yonasan wasn't there. He didn't hear his father say this. So what happened? So he asked Yonasan, what are you doing? Yonasan said, I really felt faint. And how did he feel faint? He knew because his eyesight was growing dim. So he said he took a little bit of honey. That's what he found. He found a hive. He took some honey. And he said, oh, now that I went ahead and I took this honey, so what happens? Ru'u ki aru einai. My eyesight has been restored. So the Gemara says, oh, here's an allusion to the idea that sweet things restore eyesight. To which the Gemara says, but one second. Umay afa pishen rai ladavar. Now, what's interesting about that, the Gemara says, when introducing this pasuk, the afa pishen rai ladavar zech ladavar. Even though there's no explicit proof for this, there's an illusion. Now, this is not an illusion. This seems to be a pretty, this is a pretty afneraya. This is a pretty explicit proof to the fact that sweet things restore eyesight. To which the Gemara says, so what do you mean it's just a zech ladavar? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. The hasam lav bulmos achze. Because here's the difference of Osai. Yonasan was not seized by bulmos. That wasn't his problem. It wasn't bulmos that was his issue. He was faint. So meaning, you can't. The point that you must make is you can't bring a raya from this pasuk that if you have bulmos, honey will help you with your bulmos. All the pasuk says is if you're ill, if you're faint, and your eyesight is being diminished, honey or sweet things will help restore that. Amar Abaye, lo shana ela l'achar achila. When is this true that sweet things help someone who has bulmos? That's only if you eat honey after already eating other things. Meaning, apparently, in Judaism, we use food to combat all illness. Right? So the nice, again, first you go ahead and you eat something regular, and then afterwards you have the sweet things. That's what helps bulmos. But if you eat the sweet things prior to eating something regular, it doesn't work. Why? Because migra gara. Because they will say again, sweet things have a way of intensifying someone's appetite. Dechsiv, because they said the pasuk says, "Vayimtsu ish mitri basa." That Rabbi said, this is by David HaMelech. This is after the death of Shaul, and this they don't know what happened to Shaul and his sons. This ish mitri, this Egyptian, they find this Egyptian boy. He comes to report to David about what happened. So the Gemara says, "Vayimtsu ish mitri basada." They found an Egyptian boy in the field. Vayichu also al David. They brought him to David. Vayitnu lo lechem. They gave him bread. Vayochal. He ate. Vayashkiu. They gave him to drink water. Vayitnu lo plach dvela. They gave him a cake of pressed figs, ushnei tzimukim, and two clusters of grapes, vayochal and he ate, vateshev rucho elav, and his spirit returned to him, kilo achal lechem v'lo shasayim shloshi yamin, u'shlosh leis, because he had not eaten anything for 3 days and three nights. Now what's with the Gemara's picking up over here is look at the order of the food, right? First what's served, first is the bread, then the water, and then only afterwards what? The sweet things are only offered afterwards, and even the sweet things are in progression. You have cake of pressed figs, but the sweetest things, of course, in this pasuk are what? Are the raisins. And the clusters of raisins are not given to him until the end. So from here you see that the right way to consume sweet things is how? First eat your regular meal, your regular food, and then afterwards the sweet items. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Mish achsa bulmos, ma'achim l'osa alya bidvash. Rav Nachman's name is Shmuel, somebody who is seized by bulmos. The best way to deal with it is to eat alya, Rabose, is the tail. Rashi says, this is now Rashi on the left-hand column, first line, alya, basar shamein ma'od. usually refers to the tail of a goat, which apparently is very fatty meat. Tail meat is very fatty meat. So what do? If somebody gets bulimus, you feed him tail meat with honey. Tail meat with honey. Rav Huna brings Rav Yoshua Amar, Af solas nekiya bedvash. Rav Huna, the son of Yoshua, says you can even give him fine flour with honey. The idea is you're not just giving him honey with alone, you're giving him honey with something else that sustains. Rav Papa says, Afilo kimchi desari bedivsha, even barley flour, with barley flour which is considered to be exceptionally inferior, even barley flour is given together with honey. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Pam achas achzoni bulmus. One time I was seized by bulmus. And what happened? Viratzti l'mizracha shelti. And I will say it's very interesting. So Rabbi Yochanan says, one time I was overcome with bulmus, and what did I do? I ran over to the eastern side of the fig tree and ate the figs from the tree. The figs are sweet. The Kayamti Batsmin, I will say, look at Rashi. Why did he go to Mizracha Shaltina? Rashi says, Shashemesh Makesh Sham Minaboke Ad Chatzos. Because Rabbi Yochanan, the eastern side of the tree has sunlight from the morning until noon. Vashemesh Mematik Esapri. And amazingly enough, the constant sunlight, or at least the half a day of sunlight, sweetens the fruit. Right, the intensity of the sunlight. So when he had the bulmus, he ran over to the eastern side of the tree. Apparently, the fruit on the eastern side of the tree is sweetest. And he says, what happens? The kamti ba'atzmi, and I upheld in myself the tenant of v'chachma techayena ba'ala techaya ba'ala. I will say that wisdom literally will sustain he who owns it, or will allow the one who owns it, the one who has it, to live. Meaning that Baruch Hashem, I knew this piece of wisdom, that the sun beats down on the eastern side of the tree for half the day. The fruits on the eastern side of the tree are the sweetest, and I was able to save myself from the bulmus. The Tani Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef said, Harotze litom tam teina, if somebody really wants to taste the choicest, right, the choicest of dates, the sweetest of the dates on the tree, yiftet lemizracha, he goes to the eastern side of the tree, shene emar, umimeged tevuos shemesh. The boss said, literally, umimeged tevuos shemesh, opposite him are the delicacies of the sun's fruits. So the one understands this to be an allusion, a hint to the fruit on the eastern side of the tree. Okay. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, havu ka'azli ba'archa. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, will say, we're traveling on the road. And what happened? Achze bulmus l'Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was seized by bulmus. So what did he do? Kapche l'roa, achle l'rifta. He grabbed the food of the shepherd. They were traveling with the shepherd. He grabbed the shepherd's bread. That's literally his bread. He grabbed the shepherd's bread and consumed it. Amar Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi Yehuda, what did you do? Kapachta asaroa. You just stole the bread of the roa. And I will say again, in Rabbi Yehuda's defense, Rabbi Yehuda will give him back the bread. But Lamaisa again, he was scared about the bulmus. Remember, bulmus could be fatal. So Rabbi Yossi gives him mussar for stealing the bread of the shepherd. So what happened? Kimatu lemasa. When they arrived in the city, again, I will say, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, achze bomos Rabbi Yossi. Now I will say, now Rabbi Yossi got bomos. What happened? Ahadru bal givitzoi. So I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Ahadru bal givitzoi. It's the last white line on the top left-hand column of Rashi. Savavu bnei Yair, the townspeople came out. Vikifu leginin shel dvash umesika urakara shel tavshilin. So I will say, when the townspeople heard that Rabbi Yossi had bulmus, what did they do? They brought out trays of food and honey and cooked dishes and all kinds of things to Rabbi Yossi. Amar li Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rabbi Yossi. You know, ani kapachti esaroa. You know, I might have taken the shepherd's bread. Ata kapachta esair kula. You took everyone's food. Now, obviously, Rabbi Yossi is not taking anything. What Rabbi Yehuda was saying is, you've caused them. You've caused them ultimately to bring out all of their things for you.
What's the point of that story?
It's a bulmus story. No, first of all, the real point of the story is to show that when one is afflicted with bulmus, Yabosai, up until now we were saying that it's all about dvash. Apparently, it's not just about dvash. When one is afflicted with bulmus, the most important thing apparently is to eat something immediately. I'm sorry? No, I don't think it's saying that. Rabbi Yossi wasn't afflicted with bulmus until he came. What the Gemara is saying is Rabbi Yehuda had to take the bread from the shepherd, because at that moment, Lemaisik, and when the bulmus sets in, you have to eat something. I'm sorry? That was just the exchange. The Gemara often does this. This is the way the story unfolded. So the Gemara is quoting part of the story, and the Gemara quotes the story in its entirety. V'su, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi, remember, understand something. You know, when we think about halacha, we think about statements of fact. But remember, again, I want to say, one thing we've seen this a number of times, especially in the last couple of weeks, is the way halacha was often gathered through anecdotal episodes, through these kinds of stories. So these stories are exceptionally important. For us, they provide a little bit of relief, right? I'm saying they give us like something interesting in the middle of a sugya, but these stories are very important because it's from these stories. How do you know that Lamayis against what to do with bulmas? Because you see, Rabbi Yehuda felt that he had to grab the bread mamsh right then and there from the shepherd to feed the bulmas. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'su. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, another interesting story. We're traveling on the road. What happened? So we'll say again, remember, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir, used to be very careful when he was on the road and had to stay by someone. He was very careful to look at the name of the Balabais. And if somebody had a negative name, Rabbi Meir would not stay by that individual. Rashi says over here, Daik Bishmo Shabalabayis Im Noah Im Kior. He would look at the name of the Balabas. If the Balabas had a nice name, or Kior literally means a disgusting name. I mean, Rabbi Meir felt you could tell a lot about the identity of an individual with their name. So what happened? So Rabbi Meir Havadaik Bishma. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi Lo Havadaik Bishma. Rabbi Yossi didn't really pay attention to people's names. What happened? Kimatu Lahu Dukhta. So they came to a particular place. So they needed a place to stay. Yavula, somebody invited them in to stay with them. Amrullah, they said to the Balabas, Mashmecha, what is your name? Amrullah, he said to their name, my name is Kidor. Kidor, okay. Amr Shmamina Adam Rashu. Rabbi Meir said, Kidor, that's your name? You're Rasha. Shene Emar, Kidor Tapucho Seima. As Rabbi Yossi, again, he quotes the pasuk over here. He quotes the pasuk over here from Devarim, right, from the Tochacha. Kidor tapuchos hema, because literally you are an upside down generation. So he understood that Kidor is a reference to a negative generation. So what happens? Kidor tapuchos hema. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi, again, what you're going to see over here, Rabbi Meir didn't say this to the Balabas. He didn't say this to Kidor, right? Well, he's saying this to himself. Your name is Kidor? Oh, I'm not. It's okay. Thank you for your hospitality. No, thank you. So what happens? Kidor tapukasimar. Rabbi Yossi, ashlimu lekisayu. Rabbi Meir lo ashlimu lekisayu. Rabbi Yossi, again, all of them stayed by Kidor. But here's the difference. Often when you stayed in an inn, you would deposit your money with the innkeeper. I guess maybe the innkeeper had a safe or had something where he put everything. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi gave the innkeeper their wallets. And what happened? Rabbi Meir did not give the innkeeper his wallet. Instead, what did he do? Azal osve be kivrei da'avua. So Rabbi Meir went and he hid his wallet by the grave of Kidor's father. He hid it by the grave of Kidor's father. Okay, what happened? Achze aschazi le bechalme. So that night, we'll say this was a Shabbos, we're going to see in just a little bit. This was now Friday night. So Kidor's father appears to him in a dream. And he says, my son, Toshokel kisei demanach arisha duhu gavra. Quick, come and take the money that is resting by the head of that man. That man is a reference to himself, to the dead father. So the dead father is appearing to his son in a dream and saying, quick, come and get the money. Rabbi Meir deposited money over here. Come and get the money. Okay, so apparently neither the father nor the son were exceptionally righteous. So what happens? Amar lahu. So the next morning, they're sitting down for breakfast. They're sitting down for breakfast after davening. It's tea room. Right, so what happens? They're sitting down for breakfast, and the innkeeper innocently relays this dream to the three rabbanim. Amar lahu, hachi ischazi le bechamoy. So this is what I saw, and he proceeded to say, my father came to me in a dream and told me, come and retrieve the money from my grave. Amrile. So they said to Kidor, ah, chama be shimshi les buhum mamasha. Rabbosai, Friday night dreams, Shabbos night dreams have no meaning. So Rabbosai, so actually Rashi points out over here that it wasn't the rabbis, but instead it was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was the one who was saying to him, ah, that's meaningless, that's nothing. Rabbosai, of course, Rabbi Meir is going to do everything to show him the dream is meaningless. Why? Because his money is there. Right? So obviously, whatever's going on over here, Rabbi Meir realizes, mamish, this guy just had a dream that my money is at his father's grave, which is so Rabbi Meir is trying to say, ah, don't pay attention to it. Narishkeit. Also, Rabbi Meir, So we'll say, what happened? Rabbi Meir went to the grave of Kidor's father, and he pretty much stood watch there over his money for the rest of the day. And after Shabbos, va'aseh. After Shabbos, he went ahead and he brought the money back. He brought the money home. So Rabbi said, what happens? L'machar, now it's Sunday morning. They're ready to take leave. Amr l'hu, they said to Kidor, Havlon Kisan, can you give us back our wallets? And what does Kidor say? Amr l'hu, lo hayu dvarim me'olam. And what does Kidor say? What wallets? What wallets are you referring to? Amr l'hu, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Yossi, Amai lo daikisu bishma. Why were you not careful? I told you, right? Why were you not careful? The guy's name is Kidor, for crying out loud. Right? What do you expect? Why were you not careful? Amrulei, amai lo amrit lanmar. So they said to Rabbi Meir, why didn't you warn us? Meaning, I will say, see, remember again, Rabbi Meir never said anything to anyone. Rabbi Meir just said to himself, the guy's name is Kidor. Kidor tapuchos hema. Bad idea. But he never said anything to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. So now, when they're not getting their money back, Rabbi Meir says, listen, why aren't you guys careful with analyzing the name of the Baal HaBos? So they said to Rabbi Meir, why didn't you warn us? Why did you tell us? Rabbi says, it's very interesting. Amr lehu, Eimar da amri ana chashasha, achzuke mi amri. Now, Rabbi says, here's what's interesting. Because Rabbi Meir said, listen, it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to say something because I don't know necessarily. Just because someone has a negative name, it doesn't mean that he's a Vaday Rasha. It just means that there's a Chashash. So for me to have told you that Kidor is a no good Nick, that'd be Lush. That wouldn't be right because I don't know if it's true. Right? He said, essentially, my system is not foolproof. Right? It's just that often I could tell a lot about people from their name. So for me to tell you that he was a negative guy, that would have been wrong. It's just the Chashash. So we'll say, so now obviously Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi are in trouble because they need to get back their wallets. So what do? So they say, Mashchu va'ailu l'chanusa. So they say to him, you know what, if you don't mind, you've been so nice and hospitable to us over Shabbos, let's take you out for a drink. Literally, Rabbi said, they took him to the store. The store means the tavern. They took him to the tavern, let's have a little bit to drink. So we'll say, so they were hoping that if they gave him a little, they plied him with a little bit of alcohol, perhaps they can get back their money. Chazu, this is very interesting. Chazu, talfachi asfame. They saw that he had lentils in his mustache. Say what that means is they saw. Say what they saw that he had lentils for lunch or some previous meal. So what did they do? Azlu v'yahavu simani l'dvisu v'shaklu l'kisa. So say what did they do? So they left him in the tavern. They went back to Kidor's wife and they said, "Listen, Mrs. Kidor, your husband said that you should return to us our wallets. And what's the proof?" The proof that he told us this is he told us to tell you that he had lentils for lunch, right? Because they saw on his mustache. So what happened? She believed them. Va'aisu, they got back their wallets. She gave them back the wallets. When Kidor found out about this, he came home. Azal ihu ve'katle le'isisei. He flew into a rage and he killed his wife. He killed his wife. So now the Gemara says, hainu disnan. The Gemara says, this is when the Gemara says elsewhere, Mayim Rishonim Ha'echilu Abasur Chazer, Mayim Achronim Hargues Hanefesh. Rabbi says, why the Gemara says elsewhere that because an individual was not careful with Mayim Rishonim, Rabbi says, Mayim Rishonim means washing before you eat. Because a person was not careful with Mayim Rishonim, he was fed Chazer. And because a person was not careful with Mayim Achronim, he ended up killing someone. Now, Rabbi says, what does this mean? Rashi points out over here a story that's told elsewhere in the Gemara that, right, look at Rashi, Mayim Rishonim Ha'echilu Abasur Chazer. Rashi says, Pundak Yisrael Haya. There was once a Jew who owned a tavern. So what happened? There was a Jew who owned a tavern, and he had two menus. He had the Jewish menu and the non-Jewish menu. To the Jewish people, he fed kosher meat, and to the non-Jewish people, he fed chazer. He fed non-kosher meat. What happened? Rashi says, "Bo Yisrael the pundak v'ra'o shlo natal yadav kishahesiv lechol." So we'll say what happened. There was a Jew who walked into the tavern, and this Jew was not careful with Natilas Yadayim. Therefore, what? When the innkeeper saw him, the innkeeper assumed, oh, he's not a Yid, he's not Jewish. He's not Jewish, and therefore, what did he give him? He gave him Chazer. He gave him Chazer. Or next Rashi, Mayim Achronim Hargu Asanefesh, Zohi Ishto Shalzu, She'ilu Nato Mayim Achronim, Derech hanot lim yadayim lekanech asfamam biyadayim tovchos. When you wash my machronim, so the minhag is you wash your hands and you run your hand over your mustache and over the bottom parts of your beard to remove any food residue. Kidor obviously was not careful with mayim achronim, and therefore what? And therefore the mice of the lentils were left in his beard. And because the lentils were there, they were able to deceive his wife. And because his wife was deceived, he flew into a rage and ultimately killed her. So just a very strong Gemara. So because right, someone wasn't careful with Mayim Rishonim, wasn't careful with washing. Well, it's just an amazing idea. That's so interesting how you know, what makes you are the actions you engage in. That Lamaise, again, the innkeeper didn't think the guy in the first case was Jewish because he didn't wash the Tehillas Adayim. What does a Jew do? A Jew washes the Tehillas Adayim. And if you don't wash, the people assume that you're not Jewish. So because Adayim, he ended up eating Chazer, my machronim, ultimately, again, he flew into this rage and his wife was killed. The Gemara says, Libasov, Havu Daiki Bishma. And I will say, from this point and on, from here on in, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi were careful with to analyze the names of their hosts. Of their hosts. The Gemara says, let's just end with this. The Gemara says, Kimata lehu beisa dishma bala. When they came to a house and the host name was bala, lo ayli legabe, they would not enter into it. Why? Amru shma mina rashahu. This guy must be a rasha. Dechsev va'amru. Here the pasuk goes, va'amru labala. Va'amru labala ne'ufim. And they said this pasuk is from Yechezkel to the one who was worn out with adultery. Yechezkel is giving Moshe to the people and saying, you know why you're so tired? You're always so tired, you're so fatigued because you're always engaging in adultery. So they saw the guy's name was Bala, right? Which is the same word that Yechezkel used. And they felt, you know what, this guy perhaps possesses some attributes of immorality, and therefore Lamaisa would not stay in his home. All right, Moshe, we'll stop over here for today. I will say tomorrow. No. Tomorrow, 5:45. We go. Rosh Chodesh. Ooh.